and we begin to rock. Welcome to Runners Like Us, a place for the everyday runner to share their journey of triumphs and their passions for all things running, plus a look at everyday life. Today, we have a very special guest, Sarah in the flesh. How are you
Hello.
doing?
Hello, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm excited. I've been waiting for this day all week. All
Same.
week.
Same. I'm
Once we
stoked.
got that date set. Yeah, I was nervous. I was typing in the chat. I was like, what? I don't know. Maybe. I'm so indecisive. But I appreciate you taking the time out to definitely just join us on here and, just share. I can't wait to hear what you have to say because you're like a legend. I don't know if I told you that. You're like a legend in the streets. It's crazy. Thank you for taking the time out to share this time with us. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm super excited to be here. Thanks so much to you and Michelle for inviting me on.
Course. I'm super stoked. We'll get to that.
Well, let's get started with something easy. So if you can just give us like a background of like who you are and when you started your running journey, where does it all start for you?
Ooh. So my name is Sarah Manderscheid. I am a full-time running coach. I started Elevate Your Running during the pandemic in 2020, 2021. Woohoo! Shout out to Michelle. Mish is someone that I coach, and she's awesome. She's part of the local team. I really started Elevate because I wanted to help runners not only achieve their goals, but all the processes that come with it while feeling supported and feeling lifted high in the process. And that's always a goal when I talk to athletes and when we work together in a training cycle or for a few years or for years and years and years, like Mish, having them feel supported, feel like they're feeling seen, feeling heard, and also reaching those running goals. So I started my own personal running journey after college, and it was literally the first day that I started my corporate job. I had a job in finance marketing. We got this free membership to a gym. I remember the first day sitting in front of a computer from 8 to 5, and I thought, huh, that's a lot of sitting. It's a lot of computer time. And I was used to having, a lot of different things to do during the day. It was going to class, seeing friends, working, just bouncing around and just being really active. So I started running. I started running on a treadmill. I started running almost every day. It's kind of an unusual story because I didn't really get hurt in that point in my running journey. I ran every day. I'd run 5 miles a day. I really loved it, and it came very natural to me. And it was something that I eventually took outside and, love running in Michigan at the time. That's where I grew up and where I was when I started running, just experiencing all the awesome trails. And I just loved it. I loved the feeling I had. I loved being able to listen to music. I'm going to date myself right now, but the iPod Nano had just come out. And my sister and I both got one. And we had it with the arm strap. And I was just so excited to not only have this awesome pop music on my iPod Nano, but also getting outside to run. It quickly became something that I really just love to do. I
That
love
was awesome.
it.
Like I said before, like we think you're elite. I thought you was like a professional runner when I first, came across your profile
I read
after I
the
met
questions.
Michelle. But yeah, you're pretty elite. So with all the extraordinary things that you've done, of course, your journey being a well-established coach and then a athlete yourself, what makes you like a runner like us?
Yeah, I think that's a really great question because it is something that I have that question asked a lot. Just to kind of explain my situation, I run Elevate, I coach quite a few athletes, I have my own podcast. There's a lot to the Elevate brand and everything that we do every single week. We have in-person practices in Denver. I live in Boulder, Colorado. Mish helps with the Saturday long runs, so we have the organization around that. And then in my spare time, I also train. I would say I'm more of like a competitive athlete. I run a lot of high mileage. So my weeks are right now I'm in like my off season. I have the Chicago Marathon this fall. That's my A goal race. Right now I'm working on speed. So I'm running 5Ks, I'm running 10Ks. We've just added three more races to the calendar over the next 6 to 7 weeks to like see if I can get any more speed or fulfillment in the racing kind of side of things. And so that's really fun. But I'm running right now like low 60-mile weeks, which is a lot. It can be a lot. So I would say how I kind of like relate to the everyday runner is that even though I might seem like I'm running all the time and I'm doing these crazy workouts and these crazy long runs, is that I show up to running, I think, in a way that is very relatable. I show up on days where I'm excited to go out there, and I show up on days when it takes a lot of effort to tie my shoelaces to get out the door. I have days where I doubt myself. I have days where I feel or I question, like, can I do this? I have days where I'm so excited to be running with other people and getting out there and sharing miles and conversation and that connection kind of piece to it. So I think that's all the same.
It's kind of funny because for the listeners, Sarah is part of our monthly mileage challenge that we've talked about a few times, and she has always been in the top three every month. Sarah, I know you don't look at the comments a lot, but I tell you
I
when to look
know.
at them because they're funny. And I just need to read one to you right now from Milton.
Milton.
Yeah, Milton. Woo. Says, well, Sarah, either you're tapering or in a deload this week. If it's a taper, good luck on your race.
He nailed it. Absolutely nailed it.
He
Yeah.
did. Just to put that in
Yeah.
there, because Sarah has crushed these monthly mileage challenges. Like I said, basically top two every month, except for this month. Now she's in third behind,
Yeah.
them, but it's amazing. And it's amazing to see how much mileage you do, knowing how much work and other things you have going on in your life, not just your own training, and then not only the athletes, which there are a lot of us. You have your dog and significant other, you have other things going
Yeah.
on. So to
Yeah.
try to keep life interesting.
Does keep life interesting. I had a moment this morning where I feel very off balance right now, just trying to keep everything going. I think it's easy for people to see maybe a running coach or someone who works remotely or maybe someone who has a flexible schedule and think, oh, it's so easy to get your training in. But I struggle with it just like everyone else. Even if I am running maybe a little bit later in the morning or in the afternoon, I'm still trying to figure out how I can manage running the 8 miles I need to run that day. Or this weekend on Saturday, I have a double, which I'm like, oh shoot, I have Saturday afternoon plans because my sister's coming into town. So like just trying to balance all that on top of the recovery, because I am a master's runner, the strength training piece to it, the mobility, the stretching, the fueling, all of it. I think we all can relate that it's a lot to keep the train moving all the time.
Yeah. So you
Yeah.
mentioned fueling. What is your pre-race meal and what
Ooh.
do you eat the night before? And then also to work on that, I'm curious about your intake during when you're practicing.
That's a great question. So pre-race dinner is typically some sort of protein. I love just a good chicken breast or a steak, something just very easy to digest. It's just simple. And then I'll include usually roasted potatoes is my favorite. And then maybe a small serving of a vegetable. I try to avoid fiber the night before a race, just to make sure things don't go sideways during the race, right?
Jason knows about
But
that. Yeah.
yeah, like, hey, it happens. It happens. That's usually my go-to. Like recently, I was in Fort Collins for a team race. This was at the beginning of the month. It was the Colorado Marathon, and we all went out as a team for dinner. And we went to this Italian restaurant, and I ended up getting gluten-free pizza. That's usually a safe bet, too. So either one or the other, but I really just love, a roasted chicken, some potatoes, maybe a little bit of broccoli or asparagus, good to go. Depending on what I'm racing, if it's the marathon, I'm going to be adding like half a loaf of gluten-free bread to that
Whoa.
on top of it. Yeah, like
Okay.
the carbo load. But like 5Ks, 10Ks, very similar to what I just mentioned. And then my fueling during a run, the long run, I'll usually have a pre-run meal of like 2 pieces of toast, banana, a little bit of nut butter. Love that. I'll put Scratch in my bottle, which kind of counts as 20 grams of carbohydrates, about 80 calories. So I still count that as a mini gel. And then if I'm in, let's say, a marathon long run, I really work work on taking a gel every 30 minutes or every 3 miles. So at the start of the build, I might start at 30 minutes, and that could shake out for me 4-ish miles, if I'm doing the math right, 3.75, something like that. And my favorites right now are the Precision gels, the SIS gels. They both have 30 to 40 grams of carbohydrates. They both have 120 to 170 calories in them, which is pretty substantial. And what we know to be true about endurance running is that we need all the carbs. The carbs are going to help us with our glycogen stores. They're going to help us propel us in that second half of an endurance race. So that's what I like to do. And then I might switch it up and I might bring like maybe a pack of stretch gummies, or there's definitely a caffeinated gel in there at some point. And then the closer I get to race day, that's when I start to fine-tune everything. So then I might start taking a gel every 3 miles because that's what I'm going to be doing in the marathon. And I might be taking my caffeinated gel at the exact placement in the marathon that I'll be taking it, just to practice it so I know what it's going to feel like, because the more that we can control on race day, always the better. Because there's going to be something that comes up that we're not anticipating, you know, that's going to take enough energy to deal with and flow through. So the more that we can kind of have dialed in, I think the better. And I also feel a sense of calmness too going into a race when I know my fueling plan is something that has worked in the past. It gives it like a level of confidence, even on a day that you might not be feeling your best. If you know your fueling is dialed and your stomach is happy, that is going to help you in the long run.
I love that.
Yeah, I actually got a question. So you mentioned the gels and then the caffeinated gels. Do you see a significant difference between like the regular gels and the caffeinated gels? And then when you do take the caffeinated gels, this is like a like you go crazy type
I
stuff or
wish. Fun fact, I have an IV of caffeine in my body at all times. So, no, just kidding. I do drink a lot of
loves
caffeine,
coffee.
though. So, I take the Precision or the Morton caffeinated gel has 100 milligrams of caffeine, which is, I think, about the same amount as like maybe a cup of coffee, maybe a little bit more. So I will say that if I'm having a B day or better, I will notice it. I'll kind of feel stronger. I'll have this surge. If I'm lower than a B, you could give me all the caffeinated gels in the world and I'm not going to feel it. I've had marathons where I've taken two in a short period amount of time to get like 200 milligrams in my body and nothing was changing. And it can take a while for you to feel it. I think I notice it 20 minutes in, but studies have shown that it's really in the bloodstream, really at its peak within 60 to 90 minutes. So I like to take the caffeinated gels early. In the marathon, it might be the second gel or the first or second gel that I take. And then I always have an emergency second one on me just in case. You never know.
I like that you have the emergency. I am the same. I take it the second gel because I don't want to take it right off the bat because I'm like Superwoman.
Which is awesome. Take a different caffeinated gel. Don't you take like a mega caf?
Only during the marathon. I do like the precision as well.
Yeah.
So, and it's not
Yeah.
as much. I've been a little careful. It's a lot.
I think there was one training run or race that you did. I think it was a training run. And you took like 200 milligrams of caffeine and you were like, I feel like Superwoman and absolutely smashed the workout. How much caffeine do you take in a day? How much caffeine do you drink, Michelle?
Maybe a cup of coffee, but
Yeah.
that's it. Of course, I feel it. It affects me more. Jason, you don't drink coffee, correct?
No, not
But
yet.
are you
Not yet.
tempted to take a caffeinated gel?
I think, well, my output is so high. I'm pretty
Yeah.
sure it's the ADHD, who knows? But I think if I take a caffeinated gel, I'll end up flying. I don't know. I think I'll be flying, so.
You could try start with like the 20 milligrams, because even with the 20 or the 40 milligrams, and Sarah, tell me if I'm right, those
Yeah.
still help in a
Especially for
way.
someone who doesn't take caffeine, I highly recommend starting small. You're totally right, Michelle. There's like a 20, there's a 40, definitely 100. You found a 200. Makes it fun. My go-to, though, for any caffeine listeners, pre-race is drinking espresso shots, not coffee, because it's a lower volume on the stomach. If you maybe feel like you have to go to the bathroom during the race and you're just like peeing all the time, the espresso shots will kind of minimize
Not bad, not bad. Write that down because you said it's not coffee. So, okay.
that.
Espresso.
I mean, it
Gotcha.
still has caffeine.
I'll take the risk. Yeah,
Just a
just
little shot.
a little one. Just a little one. You explained so much. I know you got the podcast, the team training, the athletes and everything. What is your advice for other athletes or other coaches, just starting out to stay motivated, stay with everything they have going on?
It can be a lot. I think you really have to love it to make it work because there's a lot of moving pieces every single day. And that's just with the athletes. And then if you are working on social media or a podcast or other sort of content, it just adds to the chaos, but it's fun chaos. So I think for anyone who's getting started, who's maybe looking to be a coach or they have, a business maybe similar to mine, is there's always going to be the hard days, right? That's part of being a business owner. It's part, I think, of being in this space, but just riding the waves and knowing that there are going to be the hard days, but you kind of have to go back to your why on like why you started it, why you wanted to do this. I know I have to do that some days of why did I want to start Elevate? Why did I want to, I was in corporate America for 14 years. Like, why did I quit that job to start my own business, which is a very scary thing. It's very unpredictable. And then I also think it's important to be different in some way. Your business can be set up very similar to other coaches, having a podcast, having a blog, having a healthy social media presence, but there has to be something within the coach that is different. That difference is going to stand out and it's going to help that coach attract the athletes that they want to attract to their team. So I think it's a big piece to it.
If you don't mind, telling us, what is the it factor for you? What do you think stands out for like potential to athletes or athletes that's already on your team? What stands out for you to them?
I would love to have Michelle answer this question as well. I'm going to say, I think it's my ability to listen to athletes and really be there for them and lift them high and support them. So we don't just talk running, we usually talk life. And it's a big intertwined piece to it. And I really want each athlete, if they want to feel seen and heard in that space, to have a coach who sees them in all ways, not just as an athlete. And it does help their training too, because if I know that something really exciting is going on, they're probably going to be running a certain way. And if they are going through a stressful period of time, we might need to change some things in training because stress is stress and it's going to catch up to them eventually, which isn't good.
I mean, I agree. I think that Sarah is very good. And not just because you're right here. I recommend you to people, to my friends, anyone that is asking about like my running journey. What have I done or what am I doing now? Because they see that I'm running a lot, or I tell them I'm working with a coach. I found this coach randomly. It ended up being amazing. She takes the time, she interviews you before, and you have to be willing to put in the work if you want to work with her, you, Sarah. You also try to learn about us and understand what is happening and going on in our lives and make it work with our schedules. I mean, that's actually a question I was going to ask you. How many athletes do you coach?
That's a good question. So, right now on the team collectively, there's probably 75-ish athletes. Now, this is going to include primarily a lot of my one-on-ones, right? I have a lot of one-on-ones. Amber and Haley are both other coaches on the team who also have athletes. And then we have this awesome group in Denver, soon to be Boulder, where they come together, they do group training. It's a group workout, it's weekly. It's financially a little bit less of a commitment than one-on-one coaching. So some athletes really love that aspect. They love running with others. I do open it up to my one-on-one athletes to still come and bring their workout because I am a big believer in the team and the community. Community aspect, and maybe that's like another kind of piece to what's different with Elevate is we do have a strong community, not just locally, but also across the country. I hear athletes on race strategy calls telling me that they're chatting with so and so from another part of the country about their race. And like there is that connection that I don't maybe necessarily see every day, but it is really fun to hear about it. So I would say, all in all, right now, about 75 to 80. In all various kinds of ways.
Okay, so where I was getting with that, with going back to the question, was that you have all these athletes, but you're also trying to figure out what each of us are doing in our lives. And so you make us feel like we're the only one. So I appreciate that. You do listen. And if something is going on in our lives and you can kind of tell, you ask us to schedule a meeting so that we can discuss what's happening and maybe regroup and get back to the basics.
Yeah, it could be like, hey, I'm noticing this. Like, let's find time to connect. And what's so cool about coaching is that it's so flexible. Like, the training plan is never written in Sharpie, it's written in pencil. And if someone's not having fun, if someone signed up for a race and then they were like, oops, I actually don't want to train for this, or they want to go to base building, or they want to just do something totally different, I'm very flexible with that. I think I very rarely say no, unless it just won't serve that athlete. And then I'll share why. And then we find a compromise to it. But it is something that I really pride myself on. I know there's not a lot of coaches like that. And it was something in my first experience working with a coach years and years and years ago. I kind of noticed that inflexibility of, wow, I'm expected to do a lot. And I also work full time, and I have a boyfriend, and I have a dog, and I'm volunteering with Girls on the Run, and there's a lot going on. I don't actually know if I can do this. So it is a big piece to the coaching aspect.
And just also another thing about the community that you built, because Jason was asking about the community, and I don't know how, but the people that are part of Elevate, we just all really mesh well together, and we all want to run together. We all support each other. We follow each other on Instagram. We're cheering each other on for each run. And it's exciting to know that like Sarah's working for something as well. So to be able to follow her and watch, I was at your 5K that you had your breakthrough PR at altitude. So that was super fun. It's fun to see that, you're focused. You didn't even know I was there. And then you just had a breakthrough in your 10K also, which you were paced by your coach, Nell Rojas. And so that's also what I was going to say about her group.
The community is awesome. I have to say, we have a WhatsApp channel for the Elevate crew, is what we call them. And it's not just people I coach. It could be people that I've coached in the past. It could be people in the Denver Boulder area who are runners, but maybe just need that community on a Saturday morning, or they kind of want to know where's the nearest track that I can run at that's open at 5 a.m. or whatever. And it blows me away every single weekend when I see the chatter in there. I see the pictures, I see the conversation. And then when there's a big race in the month of May is always a big month. We have three big team races. We have the Colorado Marathon, we have Colfax Marathon race weekend, and then we have the Boulder 10K. There's just so much love and support and cheering that goes on those weekends. It just makes me so happy. I feel like the team, at least I don't know of any team drama. Everyone just loves each other. The feedback I give when people are like, describe your team. Well, they are chatty, but like that also kind of represents me. So, birds of a feather, right? So I'll take the chatter over. There's a lot of other things that could be going on that aren't. And the team just loves, they love each other. They support each other. They're the best cheerleaders for each other. They hop in and do workouts together. It's awesome.
I love it.
Yeah, I do too.
I gotta be a part of this team.
Yes.
I love to talk.
Come on, Jason.
It's bound to
I coach
happen.
people in Texas.
I'm pretty sure you do. I'm
I
pretty sure you
do.
do. I'm pretty sure you do. I got a question for you though, and just context. I got my first running coach, what, 2 years ago, I think. So I've been through two running coaches, two different experiences. And I know you was talking about like what makes you different and like what you can offer and how that makes your athletes better. I see just like interacting with coaches like yourself is the spark is there. Just hearing you talk about like background of running, finding your why and all. A lot of coaches don't do that. So one, continue that. And also my question really is, do you on a daily just study this stuff? Just study the background of running, or I'm assuming you have a background in it.
Yeah, so I have a running certification. Yeah, I mean, it's something where you can get multiple certifications. Right now, I'm reading the book Scientific Training for the Endurance Athlete. It's big words, it's a big book, and it's all about the scientific methods around the training and why we do things in the order that we do them. So that's been a really great book where it's not something that I have to be in a class, but I can read 10 pages a night and learn from. Last year, I attended, I think this was an 8-week class that we met twice a week. And this was with a clinical psychologist in Colorado. And it was
Nice.
all about how to coach the athlete on the human side of things. It is something that I've gravitated towards. It is something as a coach that I've really wanted to like empower athletes with not just their running, but everything else. I thought I could use more tools in this area of language and how to maybe bring up a difficult conversation or how to support someone who's going through a difficult time. So that was like an 8-week class last summer. That was a lot of fun. There was like 8 people in my class. So that was more of like a classroom style kind of thing. But other than reading and, you know, listening or watching some YouTube channels, I'm more into not the influencers, but maybe like the specialists in the running field and what they have to say. I think right now, David Roche, who's also a running coach, what he's doing, not only in his own training, but how they're pulling that through scientifically to explain it on their podcast is really interesting with his mileage, his carb load, the heat training, how that all works together. It's really fascinating. So things like that I'll listen to as well. My entire life revolves around running. You can
I
cut that
love
if
it.
you want to.
No, keep it in. But actually, I have a question. So I know you mentioned the human side of running. Do you think that should be like a mandatory part of the curriculum for a lot of coaches?
I think it depends. I think it depends on what that coach is saying they offer. Like, I think there's a very distinct type of coach between a programmer and a coach, right? Like a programmer is plopping in and writing your training plan without any feedback, without any support, without a race plan, without modifications or adjustments based on life or based on maybe how that last week of running went for you or the last few weeks of running for you. That's very programming-esque. So I think for that coach, probably not. And they can afford to maybe also charge a lot less because they are just programming. But when you're working with an athlete one-on-one, that's a very specific plan for them for a very specific race, and they have things going on in life because they're human, we all do. I think it would be really beneficial because the more we understand each other as humans, I think the better off we all are.
That's a good answer. He's good. He's good. Okay.
But I really do believe it because like the more we understand each other, the better we can communicate with each other, maybe the more that we can get out of that relationship in a positive way versus assuming or not talking or going dark or any of those things. It just doesn't serve.
Well, I know. So everyone knows, Sarah is going to race the Chicago Marathon this year. It's one of her favorites.
Still hope it's my favorite after race day.
Me too, me too. You did so well at the Boulder Boulder. The Boulder Boulder is a huge race, like she was saying, in Boulder. It's one of the biggest races in Colorado. There are over 50,000 people that do it. It's people do it for fun, people do it to race. There's slip and slides and
People
beer
run it
funnels
twice.
and trampolines. It's a whole event, but it's amazing. How was that being paced by Nell? I know
It
she
was
started you off quick, but so how was it?
terrifying and yet amazing. And I knew that was what was going to happen. So, Michelle, you did a great job explaining Boulder Boulder. It's on a Monday, it's on Memorial Day. It's a 10K loop in Boulder. It's hilly, it's hard. If you don't race it well, you end up walking is basically the gist of it. And a lot of people will run it for fun. Some people will race it. And then some people who race it also go back for a second loop and then they do like the party loop or the party lap. And I think it was on Friday before Memorial Day, she texted me. She had said something about my 5K the weekend before. I was paced by my boyfriend, Jason. And she said, "Oh, is Jason pacing you for the Boulder Boulder?" Because he's a much better, stronger, faster runner than I am. And I said, "No, he's not. He gets to be with his kids on Memorial Day, so I'm flying solo." And she's like, okay. And then like a few hours later, she texted and asked, do you want me to pace you? And I literally got so scared. I was like, no. And I responded, no. I said, no, you don't have to do that. And then I texted Jason and I was like, no one wants to pace me at Boulder Boulder. And he's like, you have to do that. You have got to take her up on that. And I was like, what? So the next day I saw her. She also hosted a camp over the weekend and a running camp, which was super fun to be part of. I said, were you serious about pacing me? Because she is a professional runner and she's been going through a lot of health things. So she isn't training competitively right now, I would say. I don't think she's doing workouts. She's really just trying to get healthy and to feel good as like a human. And she said, yeah. And I'm like, okay, send me the invoice. Let's do this. And I was
Amazing.
also so scared because I knew she was going to push me. And she even said that, you know, the last person I paced was just absolutely horrified by the end of it. And he said he never wanted me to pace him again. And
Oof.
so I kind of like feel that vibe. I kind of get how he would think that, but it was absolutely the coolest experience of my life. I told her after, like, we not only got a 2 minute and 5 second course PR, we got a 10K altitude PR. I gave her a
Nice.
big hug and I said, I'm never gonna forget this. It was so cool. First off, she lied to me. So she said we were going to start out at 6:45 pace. Okay, this is mental. This is psychology 101. Okay, that sounds great to me. So for context, that's a little bit slower than my half marathon average right now. I thought, great. I love 6:45. I love this. We start. This is not 6:45. This is not. But it felt good. I felt smooth. I felt strong. The first mile came in at 6:29. And I thought, okay. And then the second mile has a pretty big hill in it. And that second mile came in at 6:30. Oh, I know what she's doing. I'm just not going to look at the watch. And just focused on her, focused running with her. She basically, from the second mile on, she was talking to me for the first few miles, but the second mile on, she was basically pacing me the way that out loud, the way that she approaches races as an elite runner. So it was super cool. You know, the saying that a lot of coaches use is stay in the mile that you're in. We stayed in the mile that we were in, but she micro chunked it down to steps, to a hill, to a neighborhood block. She micro chunked it so small that the race went by so fast. I was just focusing on 5 steps ahead of me versus even the whole mile, because I think that
Awesome.
can feel really intimidating. And she noticed I wasn't looking at my watch anymore. So she was telling me when the mile split came in, we're ahead of schedule, we're ahead of schedule. And then at the 9K, we saw a bunch of people from the camp, they cheered. We accelerated. I got really close to this other runner, Pete, who lives in town and he's a super fast runner. And then I got a little scared about where we were and how fast I was running. Oh my God, I'm running with the fast kids right now. What is actually happening? So I slowed down a little bit and then I just tried to hang on as best I could, really, in that last K. It was really exciting. I mean, I wanted to throw up, which I think is like the point. I think for her, she wanted me to feel confident. She wanted me to prove to myself that I could run the pace that I did. I think if she had told me that going into that race, I would have said, "You are crazy. I am not running that pace at altitude on a hilly course." But I proved myself right. And I think she also taught me how to race and how racing is supposed to feel. I've had a lot of feelings about Monday and I've wrote down a lot of things. And I think as amateur runners, when we get into racing, it comes naturally to us. The PRs come easy. It's just like, oh, I just have to like push a little bit harder and I just get faster. And then there comes a point, we actually do have to be racing hard for, like, let's say a 10K, for the entire 10K for it to be a race. Like, you can't really be hanging out. So she really taught me kind of what that feels like and how it kind of works. And it was really incredible. It was super cool. And she got to see other people that we coached on the course, which was really great intel for her. Yeah, it was awesome. It was so cool.
That's so great, Jason. The last is the 9K at the bottom of that hill of Folsom.
Yes, the 9K is at the corner where you're turning on from Pearl to Folsom, or maybe Pearl to another side street to Walnut to Folsom. So it's right around there. So it is mostly downhill and dipped into my 5K pace. And that's when I was like, no. My body just started to malfunction, you know, like I just started to feel the lactate. I was like, I think I'm gonna throw up. I can't throw up in front of my coach. We still have 2.5 laps of the track to go. I had to keep going, but we pulled back a little bit. But yeah, it's a really exciting part of the course too, because a lot of people are there cheering. So it's pretty close to scratch laps.
Oh, okay, Jason, you come up the hill and then you get to the stadium where the CU Buffs play. Then you get to do a lap inside on Folsom Field, and
Yeah.
it's just like,
Oh.
ah, so it's
That's
pretty
dope.
cool. Yeah, it's
It's super
special.
cool. There's a huge hill. Yeah, it's like a 300 meters of like incline running, or a bigger hill. Like for anyone who watched Connor Mance win the Boulder 10K, you can see they start the video at the bottom of the hill as he's cruising up to take the lead, and it's significant. And the other piece to Monday is that it was raining. So CU Stadium puts down this white material to protect the track. And as soon as I made the turn into the stadium, I mean, I tensed up because I thought, am I going to wipe out on this thing? I'm in super shoes. I wore Vaporflies. You know, like what's the traction like? So that was kind of the other thing rolling through my mind. Just like, I don't want to wipe out on camera because they have everyone coming into the stadium on the billboard. So it's really cool too. But I will have to say, one of the things that I've been working on is like a process goal is focus. And there were certain times on the course where she knew I had lost focus because she said I'd started to pull away from her. Like she could feel me kind of dropping back, and she'd turn over and say like focus or look ahead or something like that, and it would get me like right back into it. And I think that's probably very true for a lot of us who are racing or running workouts or whatever.
Very cool.
I don't know if you've been on Instagram Live for like the last couple of days. So with the BPN Go One More Ultra Backyard, what are your thoughts on last man standing races, and how do you prepare for that?
So the last man standing is basically like a bunch of people get together. You have a certain amount of distance to run in an hour, and then you just repeat. And then whoever is the last person standing is good to go. You win, right? Last person run. I think it's great. I think it's great. Like if that's something that fills your cup, if that's something that gets you excited to get out the door to run, if that's something that brings you a lot of community, because I bet there's like a big community around it. I think it's absolutely great. I think for someone who's training for a marathon, or you know, like someone who has maybe, I'm just going to use myself as an example. Like I have Chicago in the fall. For me to go do something like that is extreme and it's intense, and I'm putting a lot on the line by putting my body through that. So it's all in context. I think it's great for the type of runner who is pushing the limits, pushing their mind, pushing their body. They're probably running a lot of higher mileage already going into something like that, or they maybe trained for that. I don't really know, but I think it's great. I think as long as it brings you joy, whatever that is, if it's racing 5Ks, marathons, backyard ultras, go for it.
It was diabolical. Yeah, that's crazy.
I didn't really keep up on this year's race. Is it
Yeah,
still
it was
going
no,
on?
no,
No.
they canceled
Oh.
it.
The weather.
Yeah,
Oh,
it's
they
like a,
canceled it?
yeah, no, it was like a tornado slash thunderstorm slash
Oh, they needed. Okay.
monsoon. Yeah, it was crazy,
Yeah.
but
Oh,
they
are
ended
they
up
going to
running over.
reschedule? They would have kept going. They decided to split the title.
Oh, so it was like two men were left, or two people were left? Okay.
I think they had over like 250 miles, and they were just getting started. I was like, it was crazy,
Who were the two people?
Kendall from Costa Rica, and then Kim from Germany.
Germany,
That is wild.
that's
250
crazy.
miles in, and they were going. I think what I'm noticing is a trend, and it's not just in backyard ultras like this, of like these guys were at 250 miles. And granted, it was just two people, but it's still two people. And then you have like the Grant Fishers of the world who are on the track running a 3,000 meter world record, and they're breaking the 5,000 meter record. And then you have David Roche breaking all these trail ultra records. And you know, the marathon marathons just getting faster and faster and faster. Connor Mance, who ran at Boulder Boulder and won the 10K for the elite field, placed fourth at Boston this year, and he's known now as one of the fastest American marathoners. And he's 26 years old. And I think there's so much technology advancements that are helping all of us be stronger, faster, better runners, if that's something that we want to lean into, between the shoe technology, all the recovery tools that we have, and then, of course, the carb loading and the fueling and just double downing on, like, taking in as much as your stomach can handle kind of approach. It's really interesting to see. I mean, we also see the Boston Marathon times getting quicker and quicker and quicker. And I know there's a lot of buzz going on right now about not only Boston changing the 5 minutes for everyone, like increasing or decreasing, however you want to look at it, like 5 minutes faster, but now maybe there's a 6 minute buffer on top of it. It's wild.
Yeah. Jason, would you do that backyard ultra?
Yes, no doubt.
Far do you
Yeah.
think you could go?
But right now, I don't know. I think I can push to like maybe like 70. That's off just heart. The legs will probably be gone, but the heart, it'll be there. It'll be
Yeah,
there.
that's right. Legs are tired, run with your heart. It's a great phrase in running. Yeah. Or if
That
you
was
can
actually.
attach to your why, or a lot of it is mindset. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to have the proper training or the proper mileage when you're going into something like that, or even like a hard race. A lot of it is the mind.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I'll see a little bit more like once I finish this next race to see, like, of course, labeled as an ultra runner. And I'm like, man, I can probably just do more. So I just want to see crossing that threshold. I'll definitely know more and know how to prepare better too. So that's gonna be awesome.
Isn't that like the cool part of running, is like we achieve these goals and then we might say, oh, I want to do that better or do that differently, or I want to try a different distance or see if I can conquer this. I look at it like puzzle pieces, and I'm trying to fit together the puzzle pieces to certain races. Right now it's the marathon. Like I really want to put the puzzle pieces together and kind of put that unicorn style day where I just run the race of my life and everything comes together. And that's what I'm going after. But it could be an ultra, it could be a 5K, it could be a monthly mileage challenge. Who knows?
Who knows?
Niche, would you do the backyard ultra?
I don't know. I don't think I could last very long. I'd like to see. I don't know.
I think you ran a triple over the weekend. Is that right? Did you run a triple? You did. Yeah.
That's
Okay.
crazy. Menace.
What I said in the note.
I got a little like, oh, you just ran a triple. I said, oh, well, Jason got ahead of me, so I had to get back ahead of him.
Oh.
So
Which,
competitive.
for context, we talked about this. She has the green light to do what she needs to do in this monthly mileage
Really?
challenge within reason. Like you're being safe, you're being healthy, your body's resilient. Now we have a few more days to go.
Yeah, well, thanks for letting me know that. I thought she had to ask you to run, so I'm just taking it easy. But now that I
Not
know,
for the next few days.
you bet. That's all I needed
But June
to
1st, she gets a rest day.
Yeah, that's
Can't maybe
wait.
June 2nd.
I can't wait. So I was wondering, so do you have any tips for us new podcasters?
Ooh, my best tip is to be consistent.
Okay.
Yeah. So if your podcast comes out weekly, continue the weekly no matter what. Work ahead as best you can. That always feels better for me if I'm a few weeks ahead. Like tomorrow, I get to record two episodes. So that means I get to be 2 weeks ahead of schedule. So it just allows for life to happen. So it
Okay.
feels a little bit less stressful. But I think consistency for your audience, so they know every week it's the same time, it's the same date. I recommend having the podcast release kind of in the middle of the night, so your East Coast runners wake up, especially if you have those people who are waking up at like 4 a.m. to run. Your podcast is there for them to take on their Thursday run. It is kind of like a ritual that people get into and it becomes a habit for them. So something like that, I think, is great. But
Cool.
consistency is key. I mean, in running and podcasting and in anything that we do, I think it's tough when people do seasons because then they're gone for a while and then they come back. Look at it like a TV show, but I don't really see podcasts like that. I like the consistency of each week.
Okay.
Hmm.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. That
All
was good
right.
advice. Before we exit, what advice do you have for beginner runners or just people just looking to start running?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think for anyone who's just getting into the sport, is that consistency is key, right? We just talked about that with podcasting, with running. Like, I think don't be too hard on yourself. If you want to make a schedule, I think that's great. Treat it like a meeting on your calendar. If you don't want to have a schedule, and let's say you just want to go out when you feel like it, that's also great. Kind of honor where you're at right now. And I think one of the things that we don't talk about enough is that at some point for that newer runner, they are going to plateau with whatever that is. And that's when things are going to start to ebb and flow. That's when things aren't going to always feel good. If they know that before it starts, they could be more open to accepting it. And that could be just the way the run felt, right? The run just didn't feel as good as maybe the one yesterday did. That's all very, very normal. And it's something we all go through. And sometimes you go through an entire season feeling that way, and then you kind of flow through it. And that can be for a few different reasons. But I think that's a good tip. And then also keeping those easy days easy. And if you're going out there for a few runs a week, you know, just getting the distancing, getting the mileage in is going to be key. That's going to be great. When you start getting out there 5 days, 6 days a week, 4 days a week, whatever, you'll want some of those runs to be on the easier side, because if you're pushing hard and making it feel like it's this hard, hard effort, and you're out of breath for every single run, that's too much intensity, and you're eventually going to get hurt. Most of us have to learn this lesson ourselves, even if we talk about it. I've had to learn it twice, and it's not a fun experience, you know, when you have to go through an injury because you just push too hard and you're running everything too hard. But slowing down really will make you a better, stronger runner in the long run, which is ultimately this endurance game that we're in.
That was great.
Great answer.
Yeah, well, we really, really appreciate your time. We could talk to you all day.
I know. I can't believe an hour has come and gone.
And
This was great. Thanks so much. I'd be happy to come on again.
then
Maybe a little fall episode after Chicago, something like that. This was a lot of fun.
Well, thank you, Sarah, for joining us on the Runners Like Us podcast. Phenomenal conversation. Got a lot of good info from you. Looking to incorporate it into my training personally. Hopefully, well, Michelle's already on your team, so either way, you have phenomenal information. Where can people follow you or follow your journey? Where can they
Yeah.
find you?
So, yeah, on Instagram, I'm Sayra, Sayrah Runs Happy. I'm also on Instagram at Elevate Your Running. And the coaching business is Elevate Your Running. So, we also have a podcast and website, all the same name.
Awesome. Awesome.
Awesome.
And Michelle, what can they find
You can find me on Instagram at MQUIT, MQuit.
quit. Okay.
And then, Jason, where can they find you?
Well, they can find me for Go For Your 30. Just how you see it. Just how you hear it. Yeah. I'm on Instagram. I'm on the gram. Look me up. But
Awesome.
yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Sarah.
That's great.
Again,
Yeah,
thank
thank
you.
you, Sarah.
Thank you.